welcome to the Comic Book Rundown.
Hello, and welcome to the Comic Book Rundown. I'm your host, Joe, and with me today is my co-host, Ron.
Hello.
Also with us today, returning our very first guest, and now coming back, from the Fortress of Comic News, Chris.
Hey, you guys.
How you doing?
Doing good. How are you?
We're doing pretty good.
Not too bad, yeah.
Before we get into the books, what we're reading, since the last time you have been on, Chris, you have since started a new podcast.
I did.
Would you care to tell everybody about that?
So me and my buddy Joe started a podcast where we watched through all of Batman and the Animated Series, and then we comment through it.
I've been loving the Bat Friends podcast. It's a nice little highlight. The Frozen Dick, is that the one you guys had? The Mr. Freeze episodes that just got released?
As of this recording, we just released Bruce's Pleasure Room.
Yes! haven't hit that one yet, but yes. It's great.
So yeah, it's a lot of fun. Me and my buddy Joe. Joe is the world champion, what is it, HeroClix.
Yes.
Yeah, so we have a lot of fun with it.
Yeah, it's a blast. I love his commentary on all of it. It's great. So, you guys need to go listen to that because it's wonderful. Also, new to this episode, you guys heard a different opening theme song.
Oh, is that this episode?
That's going to be this episode. We just got a new theme from my friends Joe and Cam over at Wreck My Podcast.
What's with all the Joes making podcasts?
I don't know.
He's got a buddy Joe, I've got a buddy Joe, you've got a buddy Joe.
I am Joe.
Exactly.
Okay.
You're my buddy that makes a podcast.
Gotcha. So I don't know if I want to introduce them as Joe and Cam or as what they considered their band name to be, called the Sex Turtles.
Sex Turtle sounds better.
Okay. We'll go with that.
Down with that.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Sex Turtles.
It's a pretty wicked song. So, if you guys ever, they hooked me up with some awesome tunes. Hit them up on Instagram, and I think Cam has a Twitter as well. I'm not sure. You can find them on Instagram at Wreck My Podcast, and they can send you the right direction.
So we're not finding them under Sex Turtles then?
No, because that was something that they came up with during one of their Patreon episodes. So I don't know if it's officially called Sex Turtles, but they've brought it up a couple different times. So I'm going to say it's Sex Turtles.
It works. Would just change the podcast. Two Sex Turtles.
I'll have to let them know that.
People are going to be sorely confused, but...
Oh, probably. So today, we are going back to Captain America, and we're hitting issues 120 to 125. They were released by Marvel in late 1969 and early 1970. The writer is Stan Lee. The art was done by Gene Colan. Inks by Joe Sinnott and Frank Giacoia. Yes, sure. And letters by Sam Rosen and Artie Semek. So, okay, well, let's go ahead and get into this first issue, issue 120. Crack Up on Campus. And so we start out, Cap and Falcon have returned from the island they're on. So if you guys want to check out the previous issues of what we had covered, you can go check out episodes 28 through 30 and episodes 44 through 49. So yeah, we haven't touched the Captain America issue in quite some time, but that will let you know all about the Falcon and what Captain America, where they came from.
Over 100 episodes.
That's not really saying much since that was only 30 recordings ago.
Fair enough.
So
we cover a lot in our recordings.
We do. But so this issue here, though, so Cap is saying goodbye to the Falcon. And my question is, how did this regular nobody in Brooklyn, I think it's Brooklyn or Harlem, sorry, know about the Falcon when he literally just showed up 3 issues ago?
Word travels fast in Harlem.
Maybe.
All right, here. No, actually, if you really think about it, though, this is what, in the 60s? 69?
69.
Okay, so how many black superheroes did they have?
I get why. No, I understand.
No. I mean, like for Harlem itself, because Harlem is, you know, generally a...
Was it Luke Cage around them?
Yeah. Wait.
Was he in the 80s? He might have been in the 80s.
70s, I thought. Dude, he had the fro with the spandex.
Yeah.
And the headband. I'm pretty sure that was 70s.
Okay, you might be
wrong.
But
I could be wrong. Anyways, yeah. But regardless, you know, so like the news for them of a, you know, black superhero working with Captain America was probably a big deal to them. So it probably spread like fire through that. So that's why he knows.
That's fair.
My question is when Cap's right here and he's like, I hope to hear big things from the Falcon. Like he didn't already do something big by helping you, you know.
Stop the Red Skull.
Yeah.
I mean,
thanks for the assist, little guy, but let me know when you do something by yourself. Oh.
this is obviously early on. Falcon hadn't hit big. I think by the end of the book that you have, Falcon becomes like a mainstay in the Captain America issues.
So yeah, that's like what, becomes, late well, 70s? Well, it becomes Captain America and the Falcon.
That's what I'm saying. Like it starts doing that. Yeah. Like not late 70s, early late 70s. 1970. Early 1971, I believe. So
yeah, I think around then it becomes Captain America and the Falcon.
Yeah,
I think the last episodes or the last issues in this are the first 2 issues. Okay, of that, maybe.
And that's what I said. Like it's coming. Like Falcon is going to be a big name, and he's going to stick around, obviously, because he's a huge part of the MCU. They're in the later half of the MCU, so he's a big guy. He's a big character. It's great. So as Cap is saying goodbye to him, he's wanting to go back to S.H.I.E.L.D. He wants to try and figure out, I guess, what his Facebook status is with Sharon Carter.
Right.
I also love that he goes to the barbershop, the S.H.I.E.L.D., quote-unquote, S.H.I.E.L.D. barbershop, that nobody suspects anything is going on because the guy always fogs up the mirror or the window, and heroes are walking in and out constantly.
They probably think the dude's like, you know,
on drugs or selling drugs. It is the 70s, right? Or 60s. Yeah,
I mean, but you gotta understand, like you said, first off, you got superheroes walking in and out of here. But then second off, every time one of them walks in there, the whole window just fogs over.
That's what I'm saying.
Like how? Sure. It was very difficult to find this. We just waited for Captain America to do something odd. Oh.
He's a superhero barber.
I mean,
so he's hiding their identities.
I like that. That's a good idea. That could work. That could work. So Cap is there. He's at the S.H.I.E.L.D. barber to go talk to Nick Fury, and Fury kind of gives him the runaround real quick,
dude. At first, and then they freaking, you know, all right, like totally brainwash Captain America.
No, this was a dream. He hit the button that put him to sleep in the sleep-o-matic chair. I don't know.
Look, because it says right here, you're sitting in our slumber seat. It was already starting to put him to sleep before he actually hit the button.
Well, but then
hitting the button,
Fury tells
it.
Him to hit the button as he's falling asleep.
That's
why can't
you're
Fury
open
hit the button?
To, you're open to, you know,
suggestion
while you're getting tired and shit.
You're not wrong. So as he is quote-unquote sleeping, I think Fury says it can give you nightmares, lullabies, anything I feed into the tapes. So does he have a tape where Sharon Carter gets shot?
I don't know, but I'm kind of disappointed in Sharon Carter's ass in that picture.
Oh, Jesus. That's not the point of this issue.
Are you sure?
Maybe.
Okay.
Cap wakes up, and he knows what to do. Apparently, he's got to go buy a paper and find the help wanted ad to become a phys ed teacher.
Actually, it doesn't. I don't understand. Like
the logic of it all just makes no sense.
Yeah, it's like, you know, Fury could have just been like, "Hey, we need you to take this job as a
right."
no, for an undercover job, you know.
No, he's got to confuse them, and
They wanted Cap to be open to, you know, whatever's going on, so he could figure it out without their input, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on in this.
It's great, though. Like, I had a blast with these issues, guys. I'm not gonna lie.
Maybe Fury just needed to know how well the suggestion would work on somebody. And Cap came down there and like, hey, I need to see her. And he's like, okay, I have an idea first.
Cap is the perfect one. Like, he's a super soldier. Like, if you can manipulate Cap, you can definitely manipulate anybody.
Cap gets manipulated a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of true. So he decides to go for the job. He's going to go to the Manning University. And as he's walking up, he starts seeing the protest rally.
Dude, I got to say, though, I wish I could get a green suit like that.
That is pretty baller. Not going to lie.
Because that's a badass color of green.
Yeah.
Especially that hat.
Yeah. And it works for him. Like it,
gangsta.
So what we have here, though, is the protest gets a little violent. One of the students is being overly dramatic with what's going on.
Tiny bit.
An overly dramatic college student.
So the first thing he says as he pushes down this, I'm assuming just another teacher, you know, we've listened to you long enough. Now you'll do the listening, saying that we're going to teach what we want to learn. And like the one teacher's like, we had such a good relationship before. I don't know what's happening.
Are we sure this is the 70s?
Well, 69.
I'm pretty sure this is 2019.
No. There's no politics in comics. This stuff never repeats itself. Oh. Ever. Yeah. But the teacher was Fosgrave, which I know Steve knows. Paul Fosgrave, there we go. The top authority on atomic equations, which I'm not saying Cap is stupid, but how does he know that Paul Fosgrave is the top authority in atomic
Because he says right here, equations? Everyone knows.
Oh, everyone knows.
Yeah,
that's general knowledge.
Oh, okay.
That, I mean, like, see, back then they didn't have, you know, like, movie stars. Apparently they had, you know, academic stars. I don't believe that.
It's why it was a better time.
It was definitely was a better time. Maybe.
That's what they say.
Sex, drugs, and rock and roll, buddy.
Rock and roll?
Rock and roll. Sorry. My bad.
Anyways.
So he goes, Steve goes to meet the principal, or the dean. Dean, sorry.
Dude, and this dude principal. Looks sinister. Like, the picture where he's cleaning his glasses off. Like, the at evil first, look. At first I'm like, so wait, is he the bad guy?
That's fair. He does have a bad demeanor. But he gives Cap, who is going as Roger Stevens at the time. Because
he's slick. He is slick right there.
He knows how to lie, I guess. The secret agent. Well, it's not really a secret agent.
See, that's the luck of having, you know, a last
two first names.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, he automatically, the dean automatically gives Cap the job. Because he's the only one that applied.
And gee, I wonder how that happened.
It has nothing to do with S.H.I.E.L.D., I swear.
Yes, it does.
But as they're talking, that student, which, what's his, I can't remember, they said his name. I just can't remember what his name is.
I don't remember, it's later on, maybe.
Okay. This one kid is, that was pushing the teacher around earlier, is kind of rallying everybody. He's the protagonist and
Mart.
Or antagonist.
His name is Mart.
Mart?
Yeah.
Okay. He's the antagonist of all of this crowd, basically pitting the students against the teachers, but not all the students, because there are some students there, they're like you, they offered to meet our demands. Why are you still trying to get more? Like, the teachers are listening to us. Why are you still trying to push everybody? And then they see this one guy, this, how would you like hippie guy?
Dude, he's a kind of like a shady looking drug dealer.
I mean, he's
it's Tommy Chong from That Simmons Show.
Yep. Okay, I can see
there
that.
There we go.
Well, yep. He does keep the glasses on the entire time. So yeah. And he's got the long hair. But he seems to keep pushing and prodding Mart. Cap notices this and wants to try and stop him before it gets too out of hand. Unfortunately, because he had to run off and change, it got out of hand. So,
dude, hey, you wouldn't want to mess up a nice suit like that, all right?
That's no, it's a nice green suit. So I know we're doing a... a kill count on Flash.
Right.
I think we need to start doing a kill count on every issue. Because if you check this picture right here, Mart, as he punches that guy.
Oh, that dude's neck is snapped.
That neck is gone. Like,
well, not to mention, it's also like 4 inches longer than it's supposed to be. So not only did he break the dude's neck, he popped his head clean off his neck, and it was only attached by the skin. So high five on the fucking super punch.
Like, that was a good punch. I mean, I know it was bad art, but still, it's great.
And if you look at the next page, it looks like they're making out. They're not fighting.
Right there on the screen.
It's like, dude, I don't want to hit you. I love you. I love you too.
It is 69. I mean, all that free love.
Looks like that love's going to come at a price. Because the other dude's still swinging.
Whoops.
I told you not in public.
But, yeah, what you're referring to is MODOK is there staring at a giant monitor with Cap at the university. Because apparently MODOK has plans, quote unquote.
I'd also like to point out that it looks like Cap's egging them on in that picture. Like, he's got his hand up by his mouth. It's like, come on, you pussy, show him how to fight.
I was so happy when I saw MODOK.
MODOK is great. I'm not going to say I was a big MODOK fan, but, and I know you are not a Gwenpool fan, but I read the Gwenpool issues and he showed up there as kind of a joke. And I'm like, okay, this works. So we find out that the Tommy Chong looking guy and there was another guy there, a bald dude, are apparently agents of AIM and they're working with MODOK. Apparently they're supposed to go get that Fosgrave guy. And they're supposed to make it look like they're holding him hostage as part of the protest.
When in reality, they're trying to kidnap him.
Yes, because they need his knowledge on whatever the heck he's apparently famous for, the atomic equations.
Yeah.
Sure.
Because, you know, MODOK, who's super duper duper smart, can't...
Have you seen that head?
Figure eight? That's all there is to see.
Exactly. It gets revealed real quick that these guys are not students at the university, especially when they pull out these futuristic guns.
Yeah. Heaven forbid you had just a regular plain old revolver back in the day.
Well, you have to have the super tech.
But, dude, all everybody I'm saying does. Is that, like, you know, sure, but that gives you away, see? Like, if they'd had a regular freaking pistol or a revolver and they'd have been shooting it up, then Cap wouldn't have been like, I know those guns. I've seen them before.
That's true.
I really want to know what's going on in this bottom panel where Cap's like doing something to Mart.
No, that's not.
Let me show you how it's done, son.
Oh, wait.
Let Cap show you how to swing.
And we insert here.
Whoa. Wow. Is that what you were talking about?
What? Cap rushes to Fosgrave's aid. And Mart is coming along because...
Man, I messed up. I'd better come help you out.
It kinda, yeah. Like, he's not going to let some outsider take care of the problem that he apparently started.
Which, hey, shows that he's got responsibility. Exactly. So, I mean, high five to the kid.
So, Cap goes up there. He's able to... he kind of starts to fight him, but...
All right, dude. He straight up slugs this dude in the face.
Yes, but... What I was getting at is as he was attacking the other guy... The bald-headed guy, like, gets, like, a beat on him. And before he could actually shoot Cap, Mart shows up, which distracts the bald guy, but also distracts Captain America. And the Tommy Chong-looking guy is able to deck him and knock them both out. Knock them both to the ground.
Yeah, but I'd also like to point this part out right here where Cap's fighting hand-to-hand with the, what's his name, Grizzly?
Oh, sure, yeah, why
not? The Tommy Chong looking dude.
I like Tommy Chong better.
Yeah. Cap has enough power where he's got a hold of the dude's wrist right there to just squeeze and snap the bones right there.
Yeah, but he doesn't break people's bones.
He hits him with a shield. I'm pretty sure he breaks people's bones.
No. That shield is made of plastic. It just... They go... Sorry. I just thought of the Batman video. I think it's the College Humor video.
Which one?
Where he puts them to sleep. When he throws batarangs at people.
Oh.
Like, they're going to sleep.
Yeah.
Sorry.
But he's also got Tommy Chong pinned against this wall in a manner that I've done before.
This is going back to teaching him how to swing. See, he knew Mart was watching. He's like, sometimes you just gotta, you know, take control. But no, here's the other thing, though. When the dude knees Cap in the face, from where he's at to where Cap was at, he wouldn't have had enough force behind that to do anything more than, like, tap Cap's chin with that.
Even if he gets up to his chin, like, if anything, where they were standing, he probably would have got him in the gut more than
or in the chin.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest. If somebody's got you pinned up against the wall like that, you're going to slip a quick knee to the dick and drop him. But they knew that no matter how much super serum you have, that's going to drop you and you're not going to be able to get back up. So they had to draw it as a chin to the, or a knee to the chin.
Yeah, that makes, yeah. So.
Solid point.
So Tommy Chong and Baldy grab Fosgrave and head up to the roof to their secret. I don't know if that's like a one-man plane or it's a portable copter. But Chong's trying to get it started. Baldy's firing at Cap.
Which they got really far up on
really
that
quick.
Roof. Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyways, what I was pointing out when he decks the dude in the first shot over here was that was Baldy that he punches.
Yeah.
Okay. If Captain America knocked your clock like that, there's no way you'd be back up in 2 seconds to...
But they're agents of AIM. Like, they were...
Okay, they're still human.
Are they, though?
Aren't they?
Are they?
Are they?
Aren't they?
Aren't they?
Are they?
I don't know. Duck don't season. Know.
Rabbit season.
Pull. But regardless, anyway, so they get him to this helicopter, which doesn't have big enough blades to have enough lift to pick that thing
up. I also don't think it has enough seats. Well, that's...
He knew he was leaving Baldy behind, apparently.
Either way, so...
I don't know how he's getting the hostage on there.
Yeah.
Right?
Some, I don't know.
Hey, buddy, sit down and buckle up, please.
Yeah, well, he is tied up. Like, his arms are tied behind his back.
Yeah. Ooh, that'd be painful.
Although they weren't a second ago when they're walking up to the roof. Because he's got his hand on his head as they're dragging him through. And then... It's as they're waiting, trying to pull everything down, he's got it.
But when he falls out of the helicopter, his hands aren't tied either.
Oh, really?
Yeah, next page.
Oh, that's true.
So basically, he's holding his hands behind his back so they think he's tied up. He's like, oh, I've got you guys' his number. When I first saw it, I actually thought that it was the Chong dude holding his arm behind his back, but then I realized he'd have to have three arms to do that because he's still got the gun in his other hand.
I mean, he is an agent of AIM that may not be human.
That's not my hand holding your arm. I just had to wrap it around four times.
Jesus. Needless to say, Cap takes down Baldy. Chong and Fosgrave fly off, but Cap grabs one of the guns, one of the AIM guns, and fires it at the copter, which I guess he snaps a blade, which is fine, I guess. And he catches... Fosgrave.
I really hate, though, all the commentary, like, where they describe what
oh,
they're doing.
On? Yeah.
I That's... snapped the blade. The prof is falling. The Got prof. You.
Yeah, but what happened to Chong? He killed him. He let him go. He let him die.
Look, all right.
One.
Hey,
actually, to
two.
Be fair. Well, no, because Captain did it last
okay,
time.
Fair enough. Hey, you know, he might have jumped out, all right?
Maybe.
And without then a parachute? The helicopter landed on him. So that wasn't Captain's fault. Okay. It doesn't count as a kill for Cap.
I will say that the early Marvel stuff we've been reading on the show, they don't care about killing people. Like, they will kill them left and right.
But they don't actually show the dead people.
They don't.
So it just leaves it to your imagination.
Yes. But, I mean, this is a perfect example. Where's Grizzly? Where's Tommy Chong?
But you've also got to remember... Cap's not against killing people.
That's what I'm saying. Like, Marvel, the early Marvel stuff, they killed people left and right.
Exactly.
And I'm not saying that's bad. I'm not saying that's fine. But it's, compared to what they are trying to push today in the comics.
Well, that's because, you know, back then, you know, it was, you know, like, they're good guys, they're killing bad guys. It's not that big of a deal. Now it's like, well, I mean, what if those bad guys had, like, families and stuff, man?
It was much more black and white back then, too. Because, like, now it's, we have... like Magneto's and Venom and these villains who were
quasi villains almost.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a nice eye opener. Just the differences between then and now. Especially when we get into post crisis on DC and how they do change their ways of not killing anybody from 85 on. Then when they do, it's a big deal.
I can't wait to get past the DC that we're reading right now, though.
Yeah, we'll get there soon. Stop it. Let's go ahead and finish up this real quick. Go back to the university, and the administration is meeting with the students, and they're making a deal that literally is probably not going to mean jack shit because
there are three old dudes right there smiling.
Yeah.
So you know they're up to something.
And there's four kids who are like, yeah, we're going to get a good deal. We're going to get a good education. It could be the same damn thing you were getting before, only you're going to be couched differently now. I don't know.
Right. And then we've got Cap back at S.H.I.E.L.D. headquarters, which, by the way, you know, so we can remember, S.H.I.E.L.D. headquarters is literally just a basement of a barbershop.
Yep.
And he's like, good job on that. And he's like, how come you didn't stay on as an athletic instructor? And Cap's like, it's just too tough for an old codger like me. And it's like, you keep saying you're old, but, you know, you're still the same age you were when you were, you know, fighting and...
Well, because I don't... And you may know this, Chris. As of this issue, when this was released in the 60s, how long was he frozen for? Because it's from World War II. Was he frozen for, like, 5 years, 10 years?
Oh, so it would have been... When was Fantastic Four number one? 64?
Yes. Somewhere around that.
So 20 years then?
So yeah, probably around 20 years.
Okay. So, I mean, he's not super old. Yeah.
But yeah, I think that he'd have still been this, you know, same physical age.
Yes. True. But I don't know. But that's how we end the issue, with him walking away in the spotlight.
Oh, wait, I forgot. Fury also talks an exclamation point.
Wait, he talked emoji way back then?
Right?
It's crazy.
So like, I just imagine he's like, I'm shocked by your announcement, but they just wanted to put an exclamation point there instead,
basically.
I'd also like to point out that here Fury's got the white burns, but but earlier on in the comic he doesn't.
So he aged in a day,
in the time that, dude, Cap stressed him so much with this job that his hair literally turned white from page 8 to page 24.
I believe it. Totally believe it.
Been there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Have you seen my beard?
Dude, look, it's only right here. Oh. And, like, right here.
It's...
No, I'm talking about mine.
Oh, yours. Okay.
Anyways.
All right, that's how we end that issue.
Thank you for listening to the Comic Book Rundown. If you enjoyed listening to Chris, please check out the Fortress of Comic News podcast, as well as the Bat Friends podcast, on your podcast app of choice. Or you can check out the fortressofcomicnews.com website, which will have links to everything you'll need. And as always, you can find us on Twitter at Comic Rundown, on Instagram at Comic Book Rundown, or you can send your emails to comicbookrundown@gmail.com. We'll be back very soon with more to this Captain America story.